I'm Tom Cooney, and this is Business Wise. Our guest today is Sheila Ann Carroll. Sheila is the director of Rose Garden Center for Hope and Healing. And Sheila, maybe to start with, you can tell us a little bit about what the Rose Garden Center for Hope and Healing does.
We are a free clinic in Covington, Kentucky. We're part of the Rose Garden Home Mission, which is staffed by the Franciscan Daughters of Mary. Our mission is to uphold the dignity of each person who comes into our door. What we do in the clinic, and it's a free clinic for people who do not have insurance, we see them as you would in a regular doctor's office. And we are staffed by 6 nurse practitioners. We have about 11 RNs and 6 clerical people. We opened January 24th, 2012, and we were only open one day a week. At that time, we saw 177 individuals for 737 visits. This year, in 2013, we were open 2 days a week, and we saw 555 individuals for over 2,300 visits. We are just like your regular doctor's office. People come in with high blood pressure and diabetes. We treat everything that comes through. If we need to, we can send them to a specialist. We can also send them to the emergency room if it is an emergency. We see our friends, and we call them our friends as opposed to our patients. We see them in individual exam rooms, and we give them the dignity that they need. Sometimes they need to talk. Sometimes we just have to sit there and listen to them. And it is a wonderful experience to listen to what they have to say.
It sounds like a wonderful service and probably very rewarding, not just for the patients, but also the volunteers. If people are interested in getting more information, what's the website that they can contact?
They can contact the website of the Rose Garden Home Mission, which is the Franciscan Daughters of Mary.
RoseGardenMission.com. Very simple. Well, thanks for being our guest, Sheila. For Business Wise, I'm Tom Cooney. I'm with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate. I'm Tom Cooney, and this is Business Wise. Our guest today is Sheila Carroll. Sheila is a nurse practitioner and is also the director of the Rose Garden Center for Hope and Healing. Sheila, I know this is basically a free clinic that's staffed. Is it 100% by volunteers?
100% volunteers.
And does quite a array of medical services for uninsured people.
Our most important thing that we do is to maintain the dignity of people who are experiencing poverty and cannot afford to pay for their medical care. We give them prescription assistance by writing $4 prescriptions and giving them the prescription and paying for it. We also pay for medical copays for specialists if necessary. We do women's wellness once a month, pediatric care. We give diabetic supplies and diabetic counseling. We do pregnancy testing. We have a psychologist who comes and sees patients once a week. We have a drug and alcohol counselor who comes once a week. We do tobacco cessation classes and give nutritional guidance. The clinic is 100% volunteers, and everything in the clinic has been donated. The most important thing that we do is to maintain the dignity of the individual, and everything else comes after that.
Well, it sounds like a fantastic mission. If people are interested in learning more about that or in learning about the fundraiser that you have coming up in June that will help fund the center, where should they contact you?
They can call 859-261-0323, which is the clinic, or 859-491-4900, which is the mission. The email address is www.fdofmary.org.
Well, Sheila, thanks for that great information and for everything you do for our community. For Business Wise, I'm Tom Cooney. I'm with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate. For Business Wise, I'm Tom Cooney. Today, I wanted to talk about a question that comes up often when we do our tax chats and answer tax questions at Cincinnati.com, and that's what filing status a couple should have. Generally, when you file your tax return, you're either single, you're married filing separately, or head of household. If you are legally married, then you don't have the opportunity to file as a single person. You can only either file as married or married filing separately. And for some people, because of the recent law change for gay couples, that's become even more complicated because before they were filing single returns, and now if they're legally married, they're not just entitled to file joint returns, but they're required to either file joint returns or married filing separately. And in some cases, that's going to require them to pay more tax. If you are married, the reason that you would file a separate return may be that it saves you state taxes. For instance, in Ohio, if a married couple has similar incomes, oftentimes, if they file separately, they can save in state of Ohio taxes. If they're Kentucky taxpayers, they get the benefits of the separate filing without actually having to file separately for federal purposes. Another instance where people may benefit from filing separately is if one spouse has a significant amount of miscellaneous itemized deductions, such as employee business expenses. Because those expenses are deductible based on your level of income, if you file separately, you'll generally be entitled to more deductions. Another instance would be if you have medical expenses that exceed 10% of your income for one spouse. You might be entitled to the deduction if you file separately. You'd be more limited if you file joint return. The only real way to tell which filing status is beneficial, unfortunately, is to calculate your tax both ways and then file the return that pays the least amount of tax for both federal and state purposes. For BusinessWise, I'm Tom Cooney. I'm with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate. I'm Tom Cooney, and this is BusinessWise. Our guest today is Pat Longo. Pat is the director of the Hamilton County Business Center. And Pat, you're kind of at the hub of the Entrepreneur Center in Cincinnati, in Greater Cincinnati, I think. You've been around a long time at the Hamilton County Business Center. You see a lot of entrepreneurs. What are some of the key things that you do to help entrepreneurs when they come through the Hamilton County Business Center?
We've been around for 25 years, so we've seen a variety of entrepreneurs, and we want them to be able to first communicate what they're thinking about, you know, so that they can gain some confidence. Those sort of things go a long way in building the business plan, because what we really do is we kind of review the plan and make sure it has the components and the pieces that could make them successful. Now we have to go out and implement. It's really those implementation steps where the incubator comes in handy. It's that coaching. It's kind of being a sounding board. It's helping somebody with how they find their first customer or their 10th customer. I need to do some hiring, so what should I do? And also, being at the incubator, it's not always, hey, what can Pat Longo do, but what, or the staff of the incubator, where can they learn from some of the other clients of the incubator? And I think that's very powerful.
Sure, and it's a lot easier to learn from what someone else did wrong or did right than to have to learn the hard way.
You learn a lot about the word best practices and common sense. It's amazing because getting customers is like courting. It's like dating. You got to go through the process. It's not going to happen bang, bang, bang. It's got to take some time, and you really things have to evolve. You know, and sometimes those relationships can grow if you put the right foundation pieces in place.
Yeah, and it's really challenging to get customers when you're a startup and don't have any existing customers, right? That first one's a big step.
Yeah, that credibility builder. You know, a lot of people call it alpha or beta. It's really a credibility builder. And what are we learning from that? And here's one of the little tidbits I'd love to share with people is that when you get that first customer, start working immediately on getting that second customer instead of saying, I'm going to get that first one, work it all the way through, learn, and then go. No, do it while you're, I call it hot. While you've made that first, get that second because that will help you.
It's always good to have a backup plan.
Oh, you bet it does.
Pat, if people want more information about the Hamilton County Business Center, what's your contact information?
Yeah, we're on the web, www.hcdc.com, and just click on the entrepreneurial incubation box at the top of the page.
Well, Pat, thanks for being our guest today. For BusinessWise, I'm Tom Cooney. I'm with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate. I'm Tom Cooney, and this is BusinessWise. Our guest today is Pat Longo. Pat is the director of the Hamilton County Business Center. And Pat, we hear a lot recently, it seems, about the so-called entrepreneurial ecosystem, which you are a big part of at the Hamilton County Business Center and Hamilton County Development Company. What exactly is that ecosystem for entrepreneurs?
To have a good business community or a good entrepreneurship community, you need ideas, you need talent, you need capital, and you need people to be kind of champions in each of those areas. So we've been around for 25 years, and it's kind of been nice to see how this ecosystem has grown. We now have Cincy Tech, which is a seed investor, and we have the Queen City Angels, who is an angel group and also a mentorship organization. We have Centrifuge now, who's kind of working in some of the talent areas and also some of the downstream. And when I say that, we've got good seed and angel round, but we need A and B round venture capital deals to be done in this community. And Centrifuge is really spending some time. You know, and then you got a great accelerator. You got the Brandery. You also have UpTech over here in Northern Kentucky. So you got a lot of tools. And what we're just trying to do is maybe grease the skid a little bit to make more things happen and also make better things happen. So it's kind of a more and a better opportunity for us.
And the goal of all this is to make it easier for businesses to succeed, right? So they can grow and grow jobs.
I think the ultimate goal is to make Cincinnati a great place to start a business, you know, and by doing that, you got to have success. You start new companies and you got to have technology commercialization coming out of your local universities like NKU and the University of Cincinnati. You got to leverage your Miamis and your Xaviers, but you got to have some wins. You got to have some companies that are just growing that start as ones and twos and ends up as 250, 300 job companies, but you also have to have some that cash out too. All of those things are important. This region is on the cusp of that activity.
And those successful companies breed other successful companies and attract other entrepreneurs, don't they?
Oh, undoubtedly. I mean, there's a story that back in the 70s and 80s, there was a little company called SDRC. They have since spawned 100-plus entrepreneurial ventures here in Southwest Ohio. I think that's amazing. I can say it's amazing because we've had four of them at our incubator. I think that's what's great. And as these people and as these entrepreneurs mature and grow and others that they've taught or have worked for them, they start to move on and maybe start their ventures. That's when I think we're going to see some real positive impact.
Well, that sounds exciting. Pat, thanks for all you do for the Hamilton County and Greater Cincinnati business community. For Business Wise, I'm Tom Cooney. I'm with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate. I'm Tom Cooney, and this is Business Wise. Our guests today are Daniel Graff. Daniel is co-founder of the nonprofit organization Give Unity and CEO of Graff Designs, Inc., and Carmen Motinho. Carmen is co-founder of Give Unity and vice president and chief technologist of MOBA Interactive. And maybe you can just start with telling us, what is Give Unity?
Give Unity is basically a combination of words. It's giving and community. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to create a giving community for Cincinnati where we unite generous donors with nonprofits in the Cincinnati area.
What made you come up with this idea of being able to bring the two together?
Giving to a nonprofit is with web-based giving tools and young professionals who don't even have a checkbook today. It's really difficult to make a donation when you're in the moment, you see something happening, you know, downtown in your community. So we created this app for Android and iPhones that allow you to give to, you know, a nonprofit that you really believe in. I mean, really quickly, it's three taps of the screen that nonprofit has their donation.
How long did it take you to develop this application?
We started in February of 2013 with the idea of just wanting to give back to Cincinnati. And it took us about a year to develop it. So it took us all of 2013, and then we launched the app the last week of January of 2014. So we're just 5 or 6 weeks into it.
Who are you hoping to reach with this? Is it aimed towards a younger demographic, or do you think it'll cut across ages?
Well, I think this, you know, the same way Facebook originally reached out to a younger audience, and now the largest growing percentages are grandparents. I think, you know, the young professionals are going to certainly, we hope, gravitate to it. But I think, you know, even my mother has a smartphone now. I think anybody who can, you know, make three taps on their screen certainly can use this.
Well, that sounds like a great idea. And when you return tomorrow, we can talk a little bit about what type of organizations you can find on the app. For Business Wise, I'm Tom Cooney. I'm with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate. I'm Tom Cooney, and this is Business Wise. Our guests today are Daniel Graff. Daniel is co-founder of the nonprofit organization Give Unity, and he's also CEO of Graff Designs, Inc. And also joining us is Carmen Motinho. Carmen is co-founder of Give Unity and vice president and chief technologist of MOBA Interactive. And gentlemen, you've combined your talents to create an app which helps bring people who want to give money together with community organizations, not-for-profit organizations that need money. Maybe you can tell us about this app a little bit and what organizations we could find on the app.
The app is really geared towards the greater Cincinnati. It's kind of the 15-county region as defined by the Cincinnati Chamber of Commerce. Any nonprofit who's doing good works here in our community, or nonprofits who are located here but maybe doing, you know, good works out of the region. You can subscribe to the app for free if you're a nonprofit. And then, of course, the donors, it's free to download the app, explore, find nonprofits that you may not have even known exist, and then ultimately give a donation to those nonprofits.
So if I have the app on my iPhone, how long would it take me to find a not-for-profit organization that I wanted to give money to?
We've actually timed this out. And as it turns out, you can not only find the nonprofit you're looking for, but make a donation within 35 seconds. We actually have two separate sides of the app, one being where if you're really looking to just find a nonprofit in your area and explore a little bit, we have a section just dedicated to that. But if you know specifically who you want to donate to, we've created a very unique give tag, which allows nonprofits to create what we call hashtag forgiving and just be found instantaneously.
Well, for a moment, I've got to put my CPA hat on.
Sure.
Are all the organizations that are on this app not-for-profits that qualify as charitable deductions?
Correct. A nonprofit enlists or subscribes to the app for free. They do that through our website, giveunity.org, and then it goes into a vetting process. So we make sure that they're a 501c3, that they're located in our geographic location. Then once they're vetted, they go live on the app. What's really neat is once a donation is made to that nonprofit, then GiveUnity receipts the donor for tax purposes.
If people want to learn more about GiveUnity, either the not-for-profit organizations or people who just want to find more not-for-profits, where's the best place to contact you?
It's giveunity.org, or download the GiveUnity app in the iPhone, in the iOS App Store, or in the Android Google Play.
For BusinessWise, I'm Tom Cooney. I'm with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate. I'm Tom Cooney, and this is Business Wise. Hopefully, you've filed your tax return and already gotten a refund and invested it wisely. However, some people who have filed their returns have an aha moment when they realize they made a mistake on the return. And there's a way to remedy that, and that's through filing an amended return. But there are some basic rules that you need to understand before you file an amended return. One is, if you were getting a refund on your original return and you're getting an even larger refund on the amended return, you should wait until you get the refund on the original return so you don't delay the processing. An amended return can be filed to correct an error or an omission on the original return, but you can't pick and choose which errors you correct. So if there was more than one, you can't just take the extra deduction but exclude the income. If you simply made a math error on your original return, the IRS will likely catch that math error and will send you a notice, and there's no need to file an amended return. Generally, amended returns get more scrutiny from the IRS, so if there's a reason that you don't want more scrutiny, you may want to think carefully about that amended return. For instance, if you've taken a controversial position on your original return. Again, though, if you've omitted income mistakenly, you probably want to correct that error. If the IRS catches it, they will likely impose a penalty as well as interest on the original omission. It is important that you file your amended return on a timely basis, and generally the requirement is that you have 3 years from the due date of your original return to file an amended return to correct an error. And one last thing on amended returns, only paper returns work for amended returns. You can't file them electronically. For BusinessWise, I'm Tom Cooney. I'm with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate.
I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney.
And this is BusinessWise. Our guest today is Lee Robinson. Lee is the owner of Robinson Sotheby's International Realty. And your grandmother was the very first woman real estate agent in Cincinnati. And she built the very first condominium. And how proud she would be today to know that you, her grandson, is the leading sales agent in terms of condominiums in this entire region.
Yeah, I think she would be proud. Long since passed, but she did build the first condominium in Cincinnati in 1956, overlooking the river of all things. She, you know, a little ahead of her times. And that 1956 building is not modern by today's standards, but was pretty hip in its day.
It seems like, just from an outsider's viewpoint, that real estate sales are really brisk, and it's kind of a seller's market now, isn't it?
It's dynamically different than it was. We have a different problem today. When we talked 3 years ago, we would have had an oversupply and a very shallow demand. Not many buyers looking for in a plentiful group of homes. And now quite the opposite is true across the nation, and certainly here in Cincinnati, where there's limited supply. In other words, there's not enough homes on the market to meet the demand.
And we're entering that time of the year, aren't we? We're the season for realtors where people really get their houses spruced up, put their homes on the market.
Correct. And in fact, that's the majority of what I do in these months is owners ask me to come over and, you know, give them pointers about how to prepare in advance to be ready for showing their homes. And they, you know, frequently have a few things to do, sometimes a lot of things to do, getting that out. And then a lot of times we'll do quiet marketing. Sort of depends on the property itself, you know, what we're envisioning, the exact best time to promote it more fully, you know, via the internet, via the multiple listing service, via signage, etc. Right now, there are a lot of people that are in this sort of pent-up demand mode on both sides of that table, meaning that we have buyers that have a very, very strong demand, but many of those buyers are also sellers, very, very delayed in their ability to sell their house over these troubled, you know, last 5 years in our economic meltdown. And, you know, they needed a bigger house, or they needed a house in a different school system, or they needed a house in a different town. And there's a big demand.
When you go work with a homeowner, how do you determine the value of their home? Because I would think that's the first question people ask you.
True. That's generally the top concern for a seller, of course. We look at a variety of what I'll call data points or barometers. The easy ones would be if they had a similar house down the street from them, built in the same era, similar architecture, floor plan, square footage, etc., and condition, and current condition, of course. That would make for a nice, easy, what we call comparable. I think many people in your listening arena know that. Unless you're in suburbia and you're in an active market, and we haven't had an active market for a long time. So there really hasn't been a plethora of these data points in which to have assurance of those comparables. So we have to look deeper, and, you know, like an appraiser would do today, they are going to look at whatever comparables are available to them and have to do some pluses and minuses based on different location, different sizes, different architecture, et cetera.
What is your contact information if folks listening today would like to learn more about your services or about what they need to know to buy or sell a home?
Oh, sure. Anybody could reach me at my office number, which is 513-321-6000, or via email, lee@robinsonsir.com.
For BusinessWise, I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney. We're with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate. I'm Tom Cooney.
And I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And this is BusinessWise. Our guest today is Lee Robinson. Lee is the founder of Robinson Sotheby Realtors. I know you sell and have sold for a long time a lot of single-family homes, multifamily homes, but you're also the number one seller of condominiums in this area. I would think it's a little more complicated when someone's buying a condominium. I assume there's more hurdles you have to go through. Is that right?
Very definitely. You know, that simplified lifestyle is very appealing to people. They prefer not to cut their grass or put on a new roof. But within the condominium lifestyle is a governance. People know them as a homeowners association or as a condominium declaration bylaws, those sorts of things. And so, yes, they have to abide by that association's rules. And many times that's within a building. We even see it particularly in suburban development. Sometimes there'll be homeowners associations that are overlays even for single family homes. It is a broader issue than meets the eye. The buyer has to, in essence, agree, you know, by virtue of their ownership, they're agreeing to all of those covenants and conditions and restrictions.
So they need to look at more than just the specific unit and how pretty it is. They have to look at the bylaws and make sure they understand whatever restrictions or costs there might be in terms of being part of the condominium association.
I'll give you some examples. For instance, we're representing the Ascent now, the kind of iconic, you know, regional, and as well as the South Shore, which is another beautiful high-rise building. Those are the two kind of modern, very attractive buildings on our riverfront. They will each have slightly different rules and regulations. As an example, the Ascent, if you were to move in with your three dogs, you would soon find out that you're not allowed to have three dogs. But if you had two dogs and two cats, you're okay. So these are these little nuances. You know, yes, you can have four pets, but they can't be three dogs. Those are things that you would want to know before you'd make that buying decision.
Tom mentioned that you are the leading condominium sales agent in the entire community, but you're grandmother, who was the first woman realtor in our region, she also built the first condominium. She was way ahead of her time, wasn't she?
In that day, in 1956, they didn't use the word, the vocabulary condominium. It was called a co-op, much like you still have in New York City. In essence, you owned a portion of a corporation, but you had your legal unit within that corporate environment. And later, when the state of Ohio embraced that vocabulary and created the word condominium within the state governance, then yes, but she indeed built the first condominium building in Cincinnati.
And there's so many condominium facilities now. Do you just see that trend continuing?
Absolutely. The aging baby boomers are a big, fuel for that. And people are just getting tired. I think, if you compare to, say, life 30, 50, 70 years ago, definitely heavy on the dual incomes, definitely heavy on, the debt that people have taken on, whether it be the two BMWs or whatever. That is just so much more consumer debt than would be normal. And with that comes, more income.
Lee, if people listening would like to learn more about your company, Robinson Sotheby's International Realty, where can they find that information?
Certainly online. My email is lee@robinsonsir.com, or they'd be welcome to contact our office. We're in Hyde Park at 513-321-6000.
For BusinessWise, I'm Crystal Faulkner.
And I'm Tom Cooney. We're with Cooney, Faulkner & Stevens, your business advocate.